listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show tonight. LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life, the place where you get to talk every week about how to create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I get the honor of having really cool guests. Tonight, our special guest is Stuart Wade, and he's coming to us live from across the pond. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Good evening to you all over there, and thank you for having me, Kellen. I appreciate the time.
No, you are welcome. I loved our conversation the other day. Stuart's going to be a guest on a future appearing episode of our podcast, too. So if you like what you hear tonight, you should jump on over and grab some of that. So, Stuart, what people don't know about you is you're a world champion martial artist. And if someone looked at you and said, looks like a regular dude to me, what is one thing, and I know there's lots, but what is one thing that you think separates a person who gets to world class in anything, and I think you told me you won 3 world titles, to get to world class in anything, what is something really important in the context of creating the life you want, you know, life by design, ultimate life, that separates people who get there and people who are just, I could have been a contender.
Just one correction, Kellen. I've won 4 world championships, but that's by the way.
4 world championships. Well, we don't want to minimize any of that, so have at it.
Just thought I'd drop that in there. So in answer to your question, I truly believe that it is having conviction in the thing that you want to achieve. It's stronger and more robust than a belief. It's an all-encompassing knowing that is you. You are that person. You have achieved that goal. And it's just that time has to catch up with it. And from very early on in my competitive career, I developed that robust conviction in my skill set. And I was acting and training and behaving, rehearsing mentally, physically, and emotionally, like I was already a world champion before I won the first world title. And I think that's a big part of what separates the contenders, as you said there, from the people who actually go all the way and realize it. And of course, there's lots of different aspects to it, but I think having that is a key component.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm glad you said that, because that leads into what you do now. And that line, I could have been a contender, is from an old black and white movie of a long time ago called On the Waterfront, where I think, I don't remember who the actor was, but it was somebody, it was about boxing, right? And he was lamenting that he had never done anything, but his passionate line was, I could have been a contender, you know, and so anyway, that's why I said it. Those that have old movie buffs still don't know what that is. So that is a wonderful way to start. What happens to cause someone to move from interest, curiosity, even dabbling, even doing, to this place of seeing themselves, not just seeing, but viscerally experiencing themselves as someone who's already crossed the finish line, got the contract, won the title? Like, what happens in you when that shift takes place?
That's a great question. And I can't speak for other people, but only my experience and what I've noticed in some of my clients that have experienced these shifts. And it really is tapping into a deep, really resonant emotional reason why you want that thing, and being able to harness that, being able to tap into that as a resource to fuel you forwards, and then having the awareness and the clarity of vision to envisage it in your mind's eye as crystal clear as if you were really there doing that thing in the present moment, because as we know, our brains don't necessarily know the difference between the real world out there and what's going on between our ears. And so if we can utilize all our senses to make it as real as possible, we're already halfway there.
You know, it's really interesting because as you describe that, the energy and intensity with which you chewed the words and described the experience of you know, you were attempting and doing a good job of communicating to us the level of experience required to make that happen. So it's not just about a wishful thought. It's not just about wanting it. It's not just about even hearing the roar of the crowd and everything, but it's a full body visceral experience, embodiment, you might say, where you have changed the chemistry in your brain because you're actually experiencing the thing happening as if it were. And we hear that from sports guys all the time, you know, basketball players, hockey players, whatever, rugby players, that whole visualization thing is not trivial and by any means. It is powerful, it is real, and it is one of the key things that separates those that hit the top. Is that not true?
100%. And the word visualization in itself can be a little bit of a misleading statement because, yes, you want the visuals, but you also want to incorporate the other senses too.
Yeah.
We want to hear the positive sounds. We want to feel the physical sensations and the emotional feelings within ourselves. We could even incorporate the olfactory and gustatory. We could smell and taste things there, you know? If we can make it as real as possible in our minds, that's when we can really change our brain chemistry, fire and wire new neural pathways, and put ourselves on the fast track to achieving the thing that we want to achieve.
Now, when you did that a few years ago, you didn't know all this language and you didn't actually know what was going on in your head, did you?
No, I did not.
All right. Well, that's interesting because now with your training, and we'll get to what you do and your training and all that stuff in a bit, but the reason I'm making that point is the yearning to have it, the commitment to make it, the dedication to choose that path no matter the obstacle, that by itself provided you the energy to make this happen. And you did it, you experienced it, you had all your senses involved, you viscerally had the whole body experience of this thing, and you didn't know jack about all the stuff that you just said. And I'm making that point because sometimes people get the idea that they got to have all this other gobbledygook in order to get there. And you're a case that shows that we can find that if we want it bad enough.
100%. Yeah, if we want it bad enough. And sometimes it's born out of pain. It's sometimes born out of desperation that we don't want to be in the place we're at anymore. And then from that, we can start to build the momentum to move towards the positive aspirational side of building that conviction. And because for me, it was born out of pain as well. And I learned about my mind from practicing myself and playing with different things over time. And then doing some research, reading some different books, and just adding to my knowledge base and trying it and testing these things on myself to see what worked.
That's fabulous. So you spent a bunch of years doing competitive martial arts, and that's great. And I don't want to, at least right now, we may come back to it, do any more on that. But I wanted to use that as a groundwork to establish two things. One, the want to is the most important thing. Two, chasing it until you have that clear, full body experience of achieving something. Now, let's take it out of sport for a minute. And I want you to tell me a story about someone that you work with. Now, first of all, take a minute and tell us in the short version what you do. We'll do longer versions in a minute. But tell people what you do as it relates to that same multi-dimensional five sense, six sense visualization or experientiation process to help people create stuff. What do you do?
So I help people to reprogram their subconscious minds to help them get past any psychological, emotional, sometimes even physical barriers to achieving what they want to achieve.
Okay, so that's why I started with the other, because you're doing the same thing. You have an experience where you did that for you, born out of your own pain and desire to do it, and figured out a way to activate all that cool stuff. And after the fact now, you've studied and learned modalities and the chemistry of the brain and all the rest, and now you have dedicated your life to letting others see and experience and achieve whatever success they're looking for by activating the same or similar processes.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Okay, how cool is that? So I want you to tell me, how did you decide after you competed? I think you said you competed 10 or 12 or 13, I don't know, a bunch of years, long time in that kind of field. Mm. You decided to go do this, to provide this love and liberation to others. What made that important to you?
Mm. That's a really good question, Kellen. And when I first started to study this work, it wasn't necessarily with the goal of helping others with it. It was with pure fascination of the entire field and how our minds work. And I wanted to learn more for myself and for my knowledge base. But then having had the help from other professionals along the way with issues that I was experiencing in my life, I saw the application, and with how passionate I was about it, how fascinated I was with it, the difference that it had made within me, I wanted to be able to facilitate that for others and help them in the ways that it's helped me.
So let's do that. Let's do a little bit of vulnerable questioning here. What was, if you're willing to share, some of the things that you needed help with? So you're a successful martial artist. Mm-hmm. You do that, and maybe it was during that time, and maybe it was after. You're fascinated by the brain, like neurochemistry and how things work and why we do what we do or don't do what we don't do. And you mentioned there were some things that you needed and sought help with professionals. Like martial arts, you have sensei, and you have people that are busy doing that same thing, partly physical, partly mental, in helping people like you, you know, rise up above fear and limitations and so forth. What was going on in your life that made you say, I need some help?
Mm. So the first real instance was not long after I'd finished university. And at the time, I was still competing to a high level. And I went through a number of tournaments consecutively where I performed badly because I got so fatigued. Couldn't explain why. I just got so badly fatigued in there, I ended up losing. And I'm not so naive as to think that I could have been training more smartly. I definitely could have been fueling my body with my diet better, but it was between my ears where the problem was, because I started to think to myself, it's going to happen again. And of course, I started to ruminate on that thought, and oh my God, it's going to happen again. And it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, to where I'd be going into a tournament, whatever the level it was, regional, national, international, didn't matter. And I would be thinking to myself, it's going to happen again. I'm going to get tired again. And of course I did. And so I actually got referred to a clinical hypnotherapist by a friend of mine who had been to see this particular therapist for a totally different issue, some fear or phobia. But I was curious. I was fairly open-minded, I like to think, but I was fully expecting there to be a pocket watch swinging in front of my face and
quite
possibly clucking like a chicken and what have you. But there wasn't any of that. And because I'd always taken such pride in my skill set in martial arts and my achievements, it really screwed with my head when that went off on a tangent and I was struggling. And this particular guy who I went to work with, I couldn't tell you what he did, but he tapped into something in my subconscious that was causing this issue. And we resolved it during the course of our sessions, and the issue was no longer there. I didn't change my diet. I didn't change my training regimen. I just addressed the mind stuff with him. And I say mind stuff because I have no idea what he did to this day. I don't know what he did with my subconscious, but whatever it was, it worked. And after that, I was back in alignment. I was back performing the way that I felt that I should be performing. The fatigue issue was gone. I was confident in my fitness again. And so that was the real window into the power of our subconscious for me.
So cool. Now, tell me a little bit about the modalities you've studied. I know from our other combo that you do clinical hypnotherapy, but you do other things too. So what I'm looking for here for you guys listening is I want you to understand there are outcomes, and the outcome that Stuart was looking for was to get rid of this idea that he had that he was going to keep getting fatigued, which became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then someone who had skill and training accessed the mechanics of the subconscious. And there's lots of tools that people use to access those mechanics. Sometimes we call them modalities or whatever. But what are the things that have fascinated you that you've studied that you now bring to help people, not in sport, maybe you do sports stuff too, but across the board to help people eliminate similar stories? Right. And I call them stories because if you can get rid of them by talking, then they're stories. So, right. So what are the modalities that you find most effective that you've studied that you use to help people access the mechanics of the subconscious to create powerful outcomes?
That's a great question, Kellen. And clinical hypnosis is a big part of my coaching that I do with my clients. NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is a big part of it. I'm also trained in EFT, so tapping. And one of the modalities that I've used quite a lot, especially with people who have been through some kind of trauma, is a technique called BLAST, which is comprised of EMDR, so eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, combined with hypnotic suggestion. And that technique in particular is the one that's very, very powerful, because anybody that's been through a traumatic experience, it is such a visceral, difficult thing. You can be 50 years removed from that initial sensitizing event. And if you were to recount it, it would be like you're experiencing it once again. So it can be such a powerful, in a negative way, experience for these people. And so doing that technique, the EMDR with the hypnotic suggestion, works really, really well to process that trauma quickly. And then continuing on with the hypnosis afterwards to continue to strengthen the new neural connections in the brain and body to move past that in a new and better way. Those are some of the main protocols and modalities that I tend to use with people.
Cool. So we understand how you discovered this through just grit and wanting to. We understand now that you had experience where you turned to the kind of professional that you have become a little different. And now you dedicate your life to coaching. And some people will know what that is and some won't. So what is this coaching business? And why does it appeal to you? And like, what do you help people with? You can use a couple of examples if you want. Change the names if you need to. But some examples of people that come that fit into what you've just described about how they need something. They've got stuff in their minds or beliefs about why they can't or won't, or perhaps old trauma or perhaps historic failures or whatever it is. And then how this work helps them live your ultimate life, meaning create the kind of success and goals that they're looking for. Talk about that.
Of course. So you touched on part of it in a previous question, Kellen, with the story that we tell ourselves. And a big part of it is unraveling that story and writing a new one. Telling ourselves a new one, whether it's consciously, subconsciously, both ideally, and getting that alignment. That's what we do in our work together. And the people that I work with tend to be people that have already had a fair amount of success. And it's not exclusive that I only work with people who've had a bunch of success. No, but it just so happens that the people that seem to resonate with my message have already been successful in their business or in sport as well. I do get athletes that come to me. And something, a bit like my experience, something is holding them back. They want to go through to that next level. They want to scale the business up. They want to hit that next target, whatever it is. But something is limiting them. And my job, in conjunction with them, because it is a collaboration, is to unpack that. Let's get to what's really going on and resolve it subconsciously and write some new programming to go into the subconscious mind. And obviously, the nature of what I do is very confidential, but
of course,
I can share certain details without giving anything away.
Whatever works. No problem.
Yeah, of course. So for example, one particular client that I worked with a few years ago now was a very successful businesswoman. She was a bit of a superwoman, in all honesty. With everything that she did, she was firing on all cylinders, but her weight was an issue. And it was affecting her psychologically and emotionally. It was bothering her because she felt like she was doing the right things. She was eating the right foods, so she thought. She was exercising regularly. She was busy in other areas, but something was holding her back and something was stopping her from releasing the excess weight. And so we worked together on optimizing her in each area of her life and found the root cause of the issue for the, I was going to say the weight gain, but it wasn't weight gain. It was just the holding of the weight rather than releasing it and losing the weight that she wanted to. And right. So we tapped into something subconsciously there with her that was causing the emotions and causing that difficulty in losing the weight. And from the beginning of our work together, she started to lose the weight that she wanted to lose. She was feeling happier. She was healthier. She was performing better in her business. And so she was actually getting more revenue coming in from the business as well while she was losing the weight. And from the beginning of our work together until 3 months down the line, she had lost 28 pounds in weight, and she kept it off again. And she was just a different person. She was already successful, but it was like she tapped into some real inner strength and just leveled up in every single area. So that's the power that we have.
You know, that's so interesting because, again, with the passion and clarity that you've described that, it's like all of that other person's already in there. And we in the coaching world, and I do that too, we use buzzwords like holding yourself back or sabotaging. You know, we use those words, and it is so literally true because there was a story and an emotional context of some kind that was operating in the background, in the subconscious, that was holding the weight on, holding her from taking different actions, different beliefs. And then when you get that gone, it manifested not only in releasing the weight, but manifested in more success, more, I'm sure, more confidence, more money, better decisions with business, and a bunch of stuff that created, because those stories, those barriers, they never only affect one thing. Isn't that true?
That's right. Yep, absolutely.
So I want you to, I'm going to ask you a different question now. So people make New Year's resolutions and they set goals and they jump up and down and they write them down and they put them on walls and maybe even tell their friends or post it on social media or whatever. When you have a conflict, competing commitments, and you have a subconscious story that maybe you don't know about that's operating in a belief, a story or belief about something about yourself, your worth, your ability, your capability, whether or not you can do something, etc., operating in the subconscious, And then you make all this show consciously. When there's a conflict, which one wins?
Subconscious every time.
So talk about, I knew you were going to say that because I know that's true, but I want you to tell us why. Why is that more powerful? Because it's like, you know, it could piss you off. It's like, why is the one I can't see stronger? But anyway, tell us why that is so, and a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So I'm sure your listeners and viewers have seen the image of an iceberg where the little bit that you can see above the water represents the conscious mind. And then you look beneath the surface and there's a huge expanse of ice beneath. And that represents the subconscious mind. And it's a really powerful analogy. And it's so true because our subconscious mind is the operating system. It's running the show. We don't have to think about breathing. We don't have to think about our heart beating, our digestion, our metabolism. We don't have to think about thoughts that just pop into our minds all the time. Our subconscious mind is running the show, and we can try to change it consciously as much as we like, but our conscious mind and the critical faculties, the prefrontal cortex, this bit of the brain that developed later on in our evolution, is brilliant at what it does, but it is secondary to the subconscious because that was there first. It's deeper in the brain, it's in the body, it's running the show. And so we have to tap into that a different way. We can't tap into it very well consciously. And that's where people fall down because they try and convince it and it's just not going to work, unfortunately.
So you can't shout your way into the subconscious mind?
Unfortunately not.
Not. So what do you do? You've talked about clinical hypnotherapy and talk about what's going on as best you can. What's going on when we're taking a different route? So if you're doing something, you know, you talk to yourself, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't say that, and you have these conversations in your mind where you judge yourself, you shout at yourself or do whatever, and that doesn't access the subconscious mind, and it basically ignores all that crap. So what processes give you access to that lower 9/10 of the iceberg?
So the main thing that we want to do to tap into that is to slow our brainwaves down. Because as we are talking now, both of us are most likely experiencing a beta brainwave state, which is the largest brainwave state in terms of the difference in frequencies. But it's when we're consciously awake, we're aware, we're talking, there's thoughts popping in and out of our minds all the time. Now, when we can start to relax a little bit, and generally speaking, if you just sit comfortably and focus on your breathing and turn your attention from what's out there to what's in here, focus on the breathing, you will start to feel the mind and body relax a little bit. And you might even notice that you start to daydream a little bit. That's the first signs that you're slowing your brainwaves down and they're entering into the alpha brainwave state. When our brains are more creative, they're more relaxed, we're still aware of what's going on around us, but it doesn't affect our internal state. We're not distracted. We're just centered in the moment, in the present, feeling calm and relaxed. And as we continue to relax like that, it's a natural process where the brainwaves continue to slow down. And at a certain point, they will get into the theta brainwave state. And that's where the magic happens, because in the theta brainwave state, we have less blood flow to the prefrontal cortex. So our thinking brain is effectively switched off at that point. And our subconscious mind becomes more open to positive suggestion, because that's the key thing with it. I cannot tell my subconscious mind, don't do that. Don't think about that, because it doesn't hear the don't. It only responds to the positive command. And so when we're in that state, we can actually program our minds to think new thoughts, feel new feelings, and behave in different ways. And that's the way that we can really tap into the subconscious mind for change. It can be tricky to do it yourself unless you're well practiced and you're very self-aware, but that's where people like me come in to guide and facilitate the process.
So what you do is you help me slow down the monkey mind, the rapid brain pattern, which is what we operate in as we have to, solving problems, going to work, driving, doing stuff, going to the store, all that stuff. And you help me with talking to focus on you, to listen and to slow down physically, mentally, and gradually the brain waves slow down, slow down, slow down to alpha and then down to theta. And in doing that, what science shows is that slowing down gives you access to the bottom chunk of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And as that's happening, our parasympathetic nervous system also becomes more activated. And that's, again, a natural part of our body's rest and digest mechanism. That's also what it's known as. You hear of fight or flight or freeze, and then you hear rest and digest. And the rest and digest nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, only really comes online when we're not in a state of arousal or stress. We're not thinking about something and getting agitated, or we have to take action in the moment. It's called rest and digest because that's the time when we're safe, when we're calm. We can slow our heart rate down. We can slow our breathing down. We can digest the food that's inside our stomach and intestines because we're safe. And so that's another process that comes in with that. And it's all part and parcel of programming our subconscious mind and our nervous system.
So I love that. Thank you. That's a very understandable and clear explanation of why you can access the subconscious mind at a certain way. It's like when you're busy up here, the doors are shut. Mm-hmm. And so you got to slow everything down. And I don't know that I remembered that the blood flow slows down to the prefrontal cortex when you get into alpha or lower. And that is a key piece, because if there's less blood flow, then there's less activity. Mm-hmm. So that is fantastic. Now, we went through martial arts and we went through how you got here, and you've told us now the tools, some of the tools you use to help people. Why is it important to you to help people reach their goals? Like, what makes, you know, the frame of this is you live your ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And so I want to talk a little bit, I want you to talk a little bit about your purpose. Like, why do you care? You got you fixed. What's the jazz about helping me or others achieve my goals and do cool stuff?
It's a great question. And I don't have a specific answer for that, other than I feel called to do it. I naturally care about people. I want to help people. And I found that if I can impact others with the things that I've been through and the things that I've learned, and other people have helped me, so I want to pay it forwards. Naturally, I'm a caring person anyway. I want to see people happy, healthy, and doing well. But if I can really help them and give them some tools and some systems to do that, that is just the best feeling in the world for me. And as far as I'm concerned, the more of us that are living our purpose and being happy and healthy in all aspects of life, it's just going to continue to have a ripple effect out from us to every other person that we interact with. And it's going to make the world a better place. And who doesn't want that?
Everybody wants that, and everybody thinks they're powerless. I thought it was interesting you said, I really don't have a specific answer to that other than I'm called to do it. I can't think of a more powerful answer than I'm called. Like, when that internal thing goes off that says, I need to do that, you know, that is the biggest motivator in the world. That's like the one that never turns off, right?
So
I love that. And so the answer is Stuart Wade is called to, in love and service, to help people achieve their goals, get the blocks out of the way using a set of tools that he has learned and had used on him and that he uses on others to access the operating system of our hearts and minds so we can remove crap that's in the way between us and happiness.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, you said it fine. I'm just recapping for me. So tell me, How long have you been in this coaching world where you coach with these clinical and hypnotherapy and other tools? How long has that been part of your whole life? Like, how long have you been doing that?
So I first qualified in June 2014. So just over 11 years I've been working with clients. But prior to that, the study was in total probably a couple of years in the making. But then I've been doing the work on myself for 7 or 8 years prior to that through my martial arts career as well. So it's been a fair while in the offing.
That's wonderful. And I love the fact that you have experience, years of experience. And because to me, that means years of commitment. And that means years of choice to show up every day. One of the things that I get curious about people who coach is this idea. And I don't know where you're going to go with this, but I don't really care. Some people, they're an accountant. And so when a client comes in, they go into accountant mode. Okay, and I'm an accountant and I'm looking at things a certain way. It's like a jacket they put on. For me, the coaching is more sacred than that, and it has more embodiment to it. It's not something you put on and put off like a jacket. It's something that you are. That's just my belief. What do you think about that and why?
I agree with that, and I relate it to martial arts again, because I remember growing up hearing some of my instructors talking about a black belt is not just, to quote Bruce Lee, something that holds your pants up. It is a way of being. It is who you are. It's a mindset. It's the way that you show up in the world. It's not just when you put your belt on to go train. You are a black belt all of the time. And so this is the same. You are a coach all of the time. You are the embodiment of the work you do. And it is completely congruent with who you are and the way you show up in the world, or at least it should be, as far as I'm concerned.
I love that. And I would argue that it's becoming more so. I mean, we have AI happening and all these changes in the world. And I think if people aren't a black belt all the time, in terms of how you show up in the world. And if you think of black belt, it's the discipline, the attention, the stillness, the focus, the lack of being perturbed, your ability to be calm and, you know, sentient about everything going on, all of the things that are required in when you're in battle or combat or in competition or sparring or whatever. All those things are characteristics you develop, and you can't put them off. They're part of who you are. And I would go one step further with a coach. You are, and I know you do this, intentionally recreating yourself every day to heighten, sharpen, and be more of that. Is that true or am I wrong?
Absolutely. Yeah. As the coach, you are constantly working on yourself as well. You know, every day I'm doing self-hypnosis to help me be the next better version of me. And that's what it's all about. It is a never-ending journey. It's not just, all right, I've got these qualifications, now I'm helping these clients, but I don't actually do the stuff that I espouse. I've got to practice what I preach. And that's the way it is as far as I'm concerned.
I love that. And I want to ask, There's a dichotomy that some people could see, a paradox maybe. And that's like, okay, oh, it's a mountain without a top. I have to do this work every day. And what I really want is this ultimate life where I just, like, you know, it's ease and flow. And so I want you to, my experience is that they're not, it's not like that, that's a false paradox. But I want you to talk about, because you're right. I mean, you know, I'm a coach. I do too. I prepare. I do a bunch of stuff. And so do you. And I want you to talk about how it isn't a burden, how it isn't. Talk about what it is for you. instead of that. Because when we talk about mountain without a top and you got to prepare every day and everything else, it sounds like you're getting ready to go to war every day and it's hard. And so I want you to talk a little bit about that.
I'm sure some people do feel like that about it, but not me. So
good. That's why I'm asking you.
I would say, do you have to really put the effort in to go and brush your teeth every day? Do you have to really try to go and make your breakfast in the morning if you eat breakfast? It becomes a part of your routine. It's just something that you do. It's who you are. It's not effortful because you know how good you're going to feel after doing it. And it just becomes part of the daily routine to where you don't even think about not doing it. It's just, right, I get up in the morning, I do my self-hypnosis, right, then I go brush my teeth, do whatever. And it just becomes a part of daily life. But you know why you're doing it, because it helps you to be the optimal version of yourself. So that's what it's all about.
And I love that. And that is the fundamental choice. Do you, me, listeners, do you want to be the best version of yourself, or are you willing to settle for mediocrity? Because we live with such an addiction to mediocrity and externalization, blaming stuff all around us. And the fundamental question that only you can answer as a sovereign owner of your life is, do you want to settle, or do you want to see what's possible? To me, that's the, you know, that's kind of the question. The teeth thing is funny because I heard a joke once where a kid asked his dad, Dad, do I have to brush my teeth? And his dad said, only the ones you want to keep.
I like that. Yep.
Yeah, that's hysterical. So talk to me about settling and mediocrity in the context of your work and coaching. How often does that conversation, that willingness to own your life and to see what's possible, come up in conversation?
Fairly regularly.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, because some of it is challenging. Some of it is confronting. Sometimes you may have to face up to the difficulty, face up to the negative feeling. And it's only going through that that you can really get to the other side of it and see how far you can take this thing. But you have to have that conversation about mediocrity and settling. You know, what does the next 5-10 years of your life look like if you don't change this thing?
What's your opportunity cost? Yeah, your opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. If I sit and do nothing, where am I going to be in 5 years? Mm-hmm. In a year, are we going to be having the same conversation? And the pain of staying the same, I guess, has to get bigger than the pain of change.
Absolutely.
So let's change directions here. I want you to tell me your favorite thing about all this. Like, what is it that you would just, if you want to teach us something, that's fine. But you're a powerful coach. You're successful. You help clients do things that they don't believe they can do. I know that because we've talked before, and I know some stuff about you. And talk to me about your excitement, your favorite parts of this. What would you like to share with us about that?
That's a great question. And I just am so fascinated with our minds, consciousness, how it all works. It's such a brilliant mystery that we think we know a lot about, but then something changes and some new research comes out about a particular neuroscience study that changes the game. And so it's an ever-evolving field, which is really interesting to me, and I love learning about it. But in terms of working with clients, seeing that moment when they have a breakthrough, when the particular technique that we've been practicing really takes, it's an amazing thing to witness, and it's a real privilege for me. I'm very grateful to be able to facilitate that for people. And what I would say in terms of teaching something is, visualization as a little technique for all of your listeners and viewers take a bit of time to get comfortable, close your eyes, and just have a think about what it is that you really want. Then start to use your senses. Start to picture it in your mind's eye and make the image as big as you can, as if it was covering your entire field of view. Make it as ultra high definition as you can, as if you were really there right now. Make the colors as vivid and rich as you can, as if you're really there now. Turn up any positive sounds that you can hear, whether it's encouraging voices or your favorite music. It may even just be the wind or the breeze, whatever it is that you're looking for that helps you to feel good and feel empowered in the moment. Notice any physical sensations as well. What does the temperature feel like in that place? Are you sitting on a particular chair? What does the texture of it feel like on your fingertips? What are the emotions like inside? How do you feel being there? Do you feel confident? Do you feel happy? Do you feel empowered? What are those emotions like? And turn them up. You're in complete control of this state. And like the remote control for your TV, where you turn up the volume or turn down the volume, you can turn up the intensity of these feelings and make them so real and vivid. You're really doing it, because in here you are. And bring in any tastes and smells as well. The more senses that you can incorporate in these visualization exercises for what you want, the more powerful it's going to be, and the further along the track you're going to take yourself into manifesting that into reality. That's the real powerful technique that I would implore everybody to try.
I love that, because as I sit here listening to you do that, and the emphasis and the way you, you know, get emotionally involved in the words, I have a visceral experience. I'm feeling stuff and I'm getting excited. And so I'm just sitting here on the other end of a, you know, call, having the experience of feeling the visceral nature, power of experiencing physically the idea and power of that visualization. And I know, because I use that, but it's, and among, like you do, that it works. And so I can say to you listeners, just do it. Like, you can hear this thing and it's like, yeah, whatever. And if you do that, you're missing the point. You're actually missing the point. So I want to make sure we take a couple of minutes now and you tell everybody how to find you, how to learn more about Stuart. How do we get me some more Stuart? Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kellen. So my website is www.themindcoach.co.uk. I'm based here in the UK. I'm most prolific on social media on LinkedIn nowadays, and search for my name. It's there, clinical hypnotherapist, high performance mindset coach. On Instagram, my handle is at themindcoachuk, all one word, no underscores or hyphens. And on Facebook, I am Stuart Wade. So those are the best places to find me, and my email address is on my website as well if you wanted to reach out that way.
Please do reach out. So when you post on social, on LinkedIn, what are you telling people? You teaching them stuff? Are you inviting them? Is it like, what's going on? If somebody chases your LinkedIn stuff down, what are they going to find?
So there's going to be educational content on there, different techniques and tools that you can practice in your own life. There's going to be snippets of podcasts that I've recorded as well, and snippets of shows, and then some personal anecdotes and other bits and bobs, so that it's not just me force feeding you the stuff that I do. You also get a bit of a window into me and who I am as well.
Well, I know that's a fascinating window, and as evidenced by all the trophies on the shelf behind you and the passion that you have about serving people and the clear effort you put into mastering modalities and tools, all for the purpose of having that exquisite moment that you described a moment ago, when you see a powerful thing land and you can tell from what they say, what they do, how the air shifts, how the body moves, that the story, just like when you went to the dude and you're not sure what he did, but when you came out, it was different, that different. And so it's tasty to listen to you describe that. Stuart, I want to thank you for taking time, your energy, your love, your heart, your passion, for sharing with us today on the show.
Thank you so much, Kellen. It's been an absolute privilege.
I love it. So I want you, all of you, to just take, this has been really impactful. He described visualization so well, and that you control the power of it. You can turn it up, you can turn it down. And the more senses you involve, the better it is. The clearer it is, the more it draws you in and it motivates you. Those things are all so important. And what that means is if you use these tools, and I would encourage you to chase him around on social, because if you really want to create your ultimate life and you're not doing it right now, you got to get the tools and the help that you need. He did, I did, and it's available to you. So don't hesitate. This is the time. This is your invitation. Go create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.